Let's look at just a few psukim, not very long, and the story that I think is commonly understood one way, and see where that comes from, and if that's really the simplest understanding or not. Parashas Shmos has a lot of different components to it that we're going to pick up in Perek Daled, Pasuk Chof, right after God has revealed himself to Moshe and told Moshe that he has the job of going down to Bnei Israel and telling Paro that it's time to let the people go and they should follow him. Moshe is very reluctant to take this position, and Hashem convinces him to go. So in Pasuk Chof it says, Vayikach Moshe es ishto v'esbanav. Moshe takes his wife and his children, Vayarkivem al hachamor, and he puts them on the donkey, Vayoshev Arti Mitzrayim, and they go towards Mitzrayim, Vayikach Moshe es matehu alokim v'yado, and Moshe takes the staff of God along with him, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, and God says to Moshe, Belechtecho l'shuv Mitzrayim, when you're going down to Egypt, all the different wonders, the three different signs that I've given you to perform in front of Paro, you should do them. And I will harden his heart, and he will not free the people. Pasuk Chaf Beis, V'yamartol Paro, Yotel Paro, Komar Hashem, B'ni B'chari Yisrael, God said that B'nai Yisrael are my eldest son, my children. V'omar Elecha Shalachas B'ni V'yavdeni, send them out to worship me, Batimoina Shalcho, and he won't. If he doesn't send them out, then I will kill your Bechor. Okay, that's a little bit of background. The next psukim are the ones that I want to focus. Vayhi Baderech Bamalon, and they're on the path, stop at a hotel. Vayif Gisheyu Hashem, and Hashem encounters him. Vayivakesh Hamiso, and tries to kill him, presumably referring to Moshe. We have no idea why God wants to kill Moshe. Certainly after the job that he just gave him, it seems to be a little bit strange. Vatikach Tzipora Tzor, and Moshe's wife Tzipora takes some sort of sharp stone. Vatichros Esorlas Bina, and she cuts off the foreskin of her son. Vataga L'raglav, and she touches it to his feet. Vatomer, and she says, Tichasan Domim Atali, you are my bridegroom of bloodshed. Vayiref Mimenu, so the Hashem, or whatever he was holding on to, somebody releases him. Oz Amra, and then she says, Chasan Domim Amalos, you are the bridegroom, bridegroom of bloodshed because of the Mila, because of circumcision. What on earth is going on here? Every single pasuk, you can't understand. To stop at a hotel, okay, that's not so bothersome. Presumably they have to stop somewhere to sleep. It's a journey to Mitzrayim, so that part we're okay with. So Hashem encounters him. So based on everything that we've seen until now, I would think he's giving him, to encourage him. He's going on this very important mission.
When does ever use that word?
Vayefkisheyu.
For Hashem. Sounds so happenstance.
It does sound kind of happenstance, which we'll see. It is a strange word, and the Mepharshim are going to try and grapple with that a little bit. And Vayivakesh Hamiso. So first of all, why is God trying to kill him? What did he do?
God tries to kill him. God does kill
exactly.
Him.
If God, when what's Vayivakesh? God's asking to kill him. God wants to kill him. Good. God knows how to kill him. What's that God that God's trying to kill him? Then Tzipora, out of nowhere, suddenly says, oh, I have a good idea. I'll take a sharp stone and I'll cut off my son's foreskin. That, I'm sure, will stop everything. So that's what she does. She takes it and touches somebody's legs. I don't know if it's the baby's legs, if it's Moshe's legs. And then she makes this proclamation, you are my chasan, you are my husband of bloodshed. Okay? Then after he's released, she makes a second declaration. And again, if it was just for emphasis, she would say the same thing, but she adds something here. Not just that you're my chassan, you're my husband of bloodshed, but also for the purpose of bris milah.
Who's doing bris milah?
Well, she cut off the orla, so presumably what she was doing was bris milah. Okay, so what on earth is going on here? So the Mepharshim point out right away that Vayef Kisheyu Hashem, it seems to be referring to a malach and not to God himself. Okay. It helps a little bit, but so why is the malach attacking Moshe? The Torah still doesn't tell us what did Moshe do? Why does bris milah resolve the problem? And if ultimately the issue is something to do with Bris Mila. So where was Moshe?
Yes.
Okay, it's very nice that Tzipora came through in the clutch, but why didn't Moshe do it? Why did Moshe not realize
that? That was the problem, that he didn't do it.
Maybe, so we have to understand why. Why wouldn't Moshe have done it if he understood that that was the problem? And what compounds the issue, again, it's not the not a terrible problem, but after Matan Torah, a woman is not allowed to do a Bris Mila. Bris Mila wouldn't be good, so again, it could still be that it would still work in terms of whatever was given over from Abraham, but you would think that if Moshe had the opportunity to do the Bris Mila in its ideal form, in a way that would be good even after Matan Torah, then he would have done it. And then what's this phrase that Tzipporah keeps throwing around about being the chassan of blood?
Okay.
Very, 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 very strange. And then there's a really... maybe we'll look at it a little bit at the end, but a little bit of a fundamental problem, which is that God is sending, regardless of what the reason is that he's attacking Moshe and whatever the impetus was for this event, God just chose Moshe. He arranged everything. He sent Moshe on his journey. He's going to take out the people. So what's going to happen to Bnei Yisrael? So okay, he has some sort of problem with Moshe, but he has to presumably weigh that against the fact that Bnei Yisrael are now beginning the process of redemption, and now he's going to take the Redeemer and kill him and get rid of him. He wanted to kill him. It sounds like if Tzipora hadn't stepped up, Moshe would be dead. So how does this just, in terms of God's plan, what happened? Suddenly he switched from being the Redeemer, and then even if Moshe did something, we have to see what Moshe may have done, but what's going to happen now to all Bnei Yisrael? They're waiting there. They're hoping to be redeemed, and now everything's going to change. Okay. So the classic interpretation of this event is the one that Rashi puts forward, based on the Gemara in Nedarim, on Daf Lamed Beis. So Rashi says in Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Vayhi Baderef Bamalon. So right away Rashi says Moshe. The subject of this entire issue is Moshe. So at first you would think that's obvious, but if you look back at the Pesukim, there is no mention of Moshe's name. So we wouldn't necessarily know that it was referring to Moshe. Who else could it be referring to? It could probably be referring to the baby. Again, if the issue is solved with the baby, then maybe, Vayhi Baderech Bamalon Vayit Kesheyu Hashem Vayivakesh Hamiso, maybe God was trying to kill the baby. I don't understand why. But again, okay, so at least Rashi isn't pointing out something which is objectively obvious. I mean, it's not clear in the Pesukim. So Rashi says we're talking about Moshe. Vayivakesh Hamiso. Why is he trying to kill Moshe? Hamalach leMoshe. The Malach, again, not understanding that it's God literally. Okay, that's not the end of the world. Makes the story a little bit easier to understand. We have this Malach attacking Moshe. The Malach was trying to kill Moshe. Why? Lefi shelo malas Eliezer beno. Because he didn't perform the Bris Mila on their son Eliezer. Ba'alshen is Rashel, and because he didn't take care of it right away, he delayed it. Nanash onesh misa. That was why he deserved the punishment of death. Obviously begs the question, so why didn't Moshe just do it? Why was he being Nisrashel? Why was he being lazy about the mitzvah of a mitzvah of Mila? So the Gemara continues. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Chas v'shalom, lo nisrasha. How can you say that Moshe Rabbeinu was lazy and wasn't careful about performing the mitzvah of Mila? Ela Amar, rather what Moshe said was, Emo v'etzei laderech, if I do the Bris Mila right away, I have a problem, because God just told me, get moving. You have an urgent mission. You have to get going down to Mitzrayim and tell Paro to let the Bnei Yisrael leave. And it's dangerous immediately after the meal to be traveling with a baby they just had the bris. So he says, if I do the meal, I have to wait for 3 days. But if I do the bris, then I wait 3 days. How can I do that? God commanded me to go to Mitzrayim. So how can I? So he was caught in a little bit of a bind. He couldn't figure out what to do. Okay, so now at least we understand why he didn't do the Bris Mila. But if he really had a good reason for not doing the Bris Mila, so why is God trying to kill him? Why does God send the Malach to kill him? So Rabbi Yossi says, umipnei man ne'anash misa, and why was he liable and did he deserve the punishment of death? Lufishen is asik b'malon t'chila, because he became involved with the hotel right away. what exactly was he getting involved with at the hotel? I mean, how long does the check-in take? What was distracting him? And once he's at the hotel, he still has the same problem. Meaning, if it's expected that once he gets to the hotel, he's supposed to do the bris milah, but if they're only on the way and they're not in Mitzrayim, then he still has to wait the same 3 days. So why is he expected to do the bris milah right away? He should be at the hotel and be able to rest at the hotel and do whatever they need to do at the hotel, and then be able to continue on the journey. So it's difficult to understand, according to Rabbi Yossi, what he's grappling with, we understand. How can we just say that Moshe was lazy? That he doesn't like. We can't say Moshe was lazy and just didn't do the bris. So he offers this other suggestion that he became too involved in the hotel and he had a good excuse for not doing the bris. But the same excuse seems to still apply. As long as they're not in Mitzrayim yet and they're still traveling, he should still not have to do the bris milah. V'haya, and then what happened? Let's finish up the episode according to the Gemara records it. V'haya ha-malach na'aseh kimin nachash. This malach apparently took on the form of a snake. Ubolo me'rosho v'ad yirechav. And it swallowed him from his head until his waist. V'chozer, and then it kind of spit him out. V'chozer ubolo me'raglav v'ad osomakom. And then it regurgitated him, and it swallowed him from his legs until about his waist, until the makom hamila. And therefore, hevina tzipora, so tzipora understood shebishfil hamila. That's how tzipora realized that this had something to do with the bris mila, because the malach from the top and the malach from the bottom kept stopping at the place of the mila, so it must have something to do with bris mila. And then what happens? Vataga l'ragav, so she does the bris. She takes the foreskin, throws it near the legs of Moshe. Vatomar al bina, and then she says about her son, Ki chasan damim atali, you are the chasan, you are the bridegroom of bloodshed. Ata hayisa gorem liyos hachasan shili nirtach alecha. My husband was going to be killed because of you, because you didn't have a bris mila. Okay. Horegishi atali, you are the one, the cause of my... I don't think she was blaming him. I think she was stating a fact. I don't think she was pinning it on him as a baby. But I think she was just pointing out that what a murder. Again, this was probably very overwhelming. They were just stopping at the, you know, at Motel 6 along the way, trying to check in and spend the night there and continue on their journey to Mitzrayim. And suddenly, this whole event happens. Right away, she's able to solve the problem. And she says, wow, it was because of you. It was because of your bris. Again, I don't think she was blaming anybody. Maybe she was. And then the Malach lets Moshe go. And then Azamra, then she says, again, Chasan Damim Lamulos, Az Hevina Shalamila Balahargo. Then she had, you know, absolute concrete evidence that the cause of this entire episode was the Bris Mila. And that's why she repeated again, Ki Chasan Damim Amra Chasan Damim Lamulos, Chasnia Yerzach Azvar Hamila. It wasn't just because of you, but it was specifically because of Mila. So I think that's the way most people in school or wherever along the way they encounter this episode learn what happened here. That Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to have given his son a bris. He didn't give him a bris. We'll have to see what exactly, again, Rashi puts a little bit into perspective what his excuse was, what his thinking was. If they were going to be traveling, they would have to wait, and he didn't want to wait because God told him to go, so he was caught in this bind. And therefore, they decided to go ahead. Apparently, when they stopped at the hotel, so either God came directly to punish him because he thought his excuse wasn't good, or if his excuse was good, according to Rabbi Yossi, he shouldn't have become involved in the hotel, whatever exactly that means. And therefore, it attacked, and the reason that Tzipora, presumably, according to this, the reason that Tzipora was the one who did it was because Moshe Rabbeinu was being swallowed up. He didn't exactly have his hands free to be doing the bris milah. Tzipora realized it had to do with milah, so she comes through and she does the bris milah on their son. Okay, we still, again, need to understand, this is the classic approach of the Mefarshim, I think, not more than this, wherever taught in Chumash, wherever we may have been taught even this. And the questions that really remain are, what happened differently at the hotel? Well, why suddenly at this point would God be trying to punish Moshe? Okay. So the tour in his Perush on Chumash offers several answers why the hotel was a change, and therefore now why he was attacked. Again, trying to understand, according to Rabbi Yossi, that yes, he had a good excuse, and it seems like if it would have just been the excuse of traveling versus God's command and trying to weigh that, and because of that pushing off the bris milah, Moshe would have been in the clear and he wouldn't have been punished. But suddenly now at the hotel, something changed. So what happened now when they arrived, when they arrived at the hotel? So the tour has, the tour has a few suggestions. The first suggestion is that the hotel which they decided to go to was very close to Mitzrayim. So he doesn't elaborate on that, so I assume there are one of two possibilities. Either it was so close to Mitzrayim that if they would have done the bris milah now, it wouldn't have been dangerous. Again, you could take the baby, you know, down the block after it has the milah. It's different than going on this whole long journey from Midian, from a different country, to get down to Mitzrayim. So the excuse that he had initially of saying we still have to travel, so how can we possibly do the bris milah? Once they got to this hotel, which was so close to Mitzrayim, they should have stopped right away, and they should have done the milah. Alternatively, again, it's not clear. It doesn't say in the tour which he's saying. Or the alternative is that he shouldn't have stopped at the hotel. They were so close to Mitzrayim. They should have just finished up the journey. They should have gone to Mitzrayim. And in Mitzrayim, while he's busy freeing the Jews, he could have done the milah before. He could have sat back and helped the baby heal. Okay, that's one option that the tour suggests. Again, of what changed at the moment they got to the hotel. Alternatively, he says that since it was so close at that point, Tzipora said to Moshe, let's do the bris milah. I'll wait here in the hotel with the kids, and you go redeem the Jews. It's not going to take that long to redeem the Jews. God said, you know, that the Jews are going to leave. So she understood, you know, if God said the Jews are going to leave, God said the Jews are going to leave. She had emunah shleima. This is what God said is going to happen. So she says, I'll wait here in the hotel. I'm sure it won't take you more than 3 days to get the Jews out of Mitzrayim. And when you're done, on the way out, you'll stop at the hotel and you'll pick us up. And apparently Moshe agreed to that plan. Once he agreed to that plan, then the baby's journey was finished. And then the fact that they didn't do it immediately and became involved in, again, whatever Iskei Hamalon was, they became involved in settling themselves into the hotel, that was wrong on their part. Because once it was determined that Tzipora was going to stop in the hotel and she wasn't going to continue with the baby on the journey, So he could have gone on right away, and he could have just done the meal, let her settle into the hotel, and deal with the children. And the third possibility, and we'll see this in other mefarshim as well, was that he never should have brought them along. He should have done the milah in Midian, and left his family behind for the time being, and they could either come join him later, he could go back and do them, maybe Yisro could accompany them part of the journey, they could get in the carpool lane, whatever it is, they'll find a way to get to Mitzrayim. Okay, so those are a few pictures just to try and understand within Reb Yossi, who doesn't want to assume that Moshe made a fundamental error initially in going on the journey, what changed at the moment at the hotel. So either that it was too close to Mitzrayim, or I guess as an extension of that, it was close enough to Mitzrayim that Tzipora said, I'm going to stop here, let's do the bris milah and go on, and they didn't do it right away. Or the third possibility was that he never should have brought them along at all. According to all these possibilities, it becomes much more difficult. Again, why didn't Moshe himself do it? Again, the simplest answer is going to be that, but we don't see it necessarily in the certainly not in the Psukim, and even in the Gemara, it's not 100% clear that he physically couldn't do it because he was being swallowed up. That's what we suggested before. I think because that's how we the standard way of understanding it. So there's a more radical suggestion that's offered by Rabbeinu Chananel, one of the Rishonim. And it offers it a different approach to the entire episode. Rabbeinu Chananel suggests is that the entire episode, as I hinted to earlier, had absolutely nothing to do with Moshe. And if you look at the psukim, as we said, Moshe's name does not appear in any of the psukim, from Vayhi Baderech Bamalon, from Pasuk Chav Dalet, until you get to Pasuk Chav Zayin, until after Chasan Damim Lamulos, you don't see the name of Moshe. At all.
But the Hashem accounts of him,
it's alluding to, but never mentioned. Well, you don't know who's alluding to. Who's him? That's exactly what the question is. Who is him? Right. So what Rabbeinu Chananel suggested is, and to answer this question, and again, we'll have to look at the entire approach, is that the reason that Moshe didn't do the Bris Milah was because Moshe wasn't there. Moshe wasn't there. How could Moshe do the Bris Milah? He wasn't there. Where was Moshe? Moshe was at Paro. Moshe was trying to get the Jews. So, if we understand that Moshe wasn't there, so what's going on? What's going on in the entire episode? So he says the sin that God was coming and that God sent the Malach about was about Bris Milah, but the Malach didn't attack Moshe. Who didn't have the Bris Milah? Moshe had a Bris Milah. The Malach swallowed up the baby. The Malach was coming after the baby because now was the time for the Bris Milah. Where's the Bris Milah? So the Malach is again. The Malach is at the same time while swallowing up Moshe is giving Moshe is get, I'm sorry while swallowing up Eliezer is giving a hint to Tzipora as to what the problem is, because it's swallowing Eliezer again, the same interpretation as what the Gemara gives, until the Makom HaMila. So she's getting the impression that it has to do with the Mila. So she sees the Malach like looking like a snake eating up her son, and she realizes, whoa, we made a mistake, we should have done the Bris Milah. But her husband isn't there. So she figures, okay, I have to step up to the plate, and she herself does the Bris Milah. So why doesn't the Torah tell us that it's talking about Eliezer? Why does the Torah leave it vague? She says, because Eliezer didn't have a name. When do you name the baby? You name the baby at the Bris Milah. So if I vacate Lahamiso, he could have said, okay, yes.
He could have said Ben Moshe.
Who was she talking about?
No.
The Chassan Damin Lamelos? So we suggest that sometimes, I guess it's more like, I think in Yiddish you have it more probably than in other languages where you sometimes refer to a baby, you know, the mamala, and you sometimes use other languages that refer to, you know, more senior people as referring to a baby. So he said, sometimes also you could refer to the mother could refer to the baby as a chassan. Again, meaning just a language of, I guess, affinity for a child.
Saying that they all traveled together, but they stopped at the hotel and Moshe continued?
No. He suggests that Moshe never traveled with them at all. When it said in Pasuk...
Why did they travel at all?
Why did they travel at all? I guess they didn't want to be so far away. I'm not sure why they traveled at all, but if you look in Pasuk Chav, it says, Vayikach Moshe Ishto Vespana Vayarkivei Malach Hamor.
Right.
He stuck them on the chamor. He stuck them and said, "Giddy up, take your donkey and go." And I'm gonna go. I don't want to be slowed down. I have this important mission to do. And they all went left to Mitzrayim.
Right, he returned to
Mitzrayim. Right. So they also maybe they started. They were going on the path also. So then maybe that's what the problem was. She could have waited behind.
That is Moshe.
Because he's learning the Gemara. That's what the Gemara says. Again, the simple understanding of Chazal is that it's talking about Moshe.
But then how could you say that, though? If it actually says that Moshe returned to Mitzrayim, how could you say that?
Because this was on the path. This is telling the story now. It says they went...
When you returned.
It says, Vayoshev Arsa Mitzrayim, they went towards Mitzrayim, and now... Vayiba Derech Mamalon is one of the episodes, is the story that took place on the path down to Mitzrayim. They were right. They were on the highway. They were traveling together again. And the Gemara would understand that Vayarkivem al Hachmor, he put them on the Chamor, and then he either went on the Chamor, he went on the Chamor next to them, if there wasn't enough room on the Chamor, and they traveled together. That's the approach that the that Rabbeinu Chananel offers, and it answers the question, first of all, why the name was left out. Okay, it's not the best answer in the world. You could have certainly named the baby without having a Bris Milah. I mean, it's a shadow which does come up sometimes with babies. Well, we don't know. Again, the Torah doesn't usually tell us when the Bris Milah happened.
They
the Torah tells you
baby's born, and they pick a name.
Right. So we don't know what happened. We don't know if the...
So here's the first baby that's not named immediately after it.
So the truth is, I think the Torah does have the... Does the Torah have the name earlier? I think the Torah does have the
name. When did he talk about naming the baby? You know, I was fucking were named as soon as they were born.
We don't know that. We don't know if it was on the earth.
We don't know that, but meaning the pasuk says.
Because the Torah doesn't tell us anything that happened. For all we know, they could go and name it the Bar Mitzvah. We don't know anything. And we don't know anything that happened. The Torah doesn't tell us.
But the fact that this baby's name was postponed
Okay, we don't know.
Naomi was filming my focus.
That's a different discussion. There was a very big family machlokas about the children.
Really?
Yeah, there was. Which might be related to this, but I wasn't going to discuss it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe at the end we could talk about it a little bit. So you know what? He only named Gershom earlier. At the end of Perek Beis, he only names Gershom. Okay, well, Gershom was born earlier. Anyway, so that's again.
Where does it even say that Moshe had another son?
It says children. It says banav.
But where does it talk about her giving birth to a second son? It doesn't. It just says she has Gershom, and then by the way, she has another son at some point.
Does it say? I don't remember if it says. Well, later we'll see that she does have some. I don't know. Does the Torah say? I don't remember. That's the problem with having a shirt at the beginning of the week. I haven't gotten through that much of this yet. I don't recall, but that's fine. That's the approach that Chazal is saying. And certainly it's not talking about the bris of Gershom, because there's no reason to assume. I think the Ramban talks about that she either must have had the baby on the derech, she must have had the baby right before they left, and then the time of the 8th day stay came up, because they did know about the 8th day from Avram Avinu. So the time of the 8th day came up as they were traveling.
This whole episode even weirder, because it talks about a baby that was never even mentioned being born yet.
But it does say in 20 his son. So
right, it does say in the plural, correct.
You think that Moshe's son being born would be at least a few words in a parsha.
Son, yeah.
So the fact that it just skips over her giving birth to a second baby is just strange.
Maybe she didn't want to talk about it. It was tough. I don't know.
But this fits also, because it says right away that you put them on the mount, and then he immediately went to the tribe.
Right, that part does fit in. That part does fit in. The naming issue, again, is more of a more cute. But, I mean, it answers the question, because it is strange that the Torah doesn't tell us who we're talking about. Again, the way that Rashi would understand this, well, Vayif Kisheyu Hashem, who else is Hashem meeting with other than Moshe? Moshe and God had this very close relationship. So then, Vayivakesh Hamiso is going back on the person who God is meeting with, and presumably that was talking about Moshe. But again, even Rashi felt the need to point it out. Okay, that's another approach. The Rabbag asks, well, what was so terrible about what Moshe did? Again, let's even assume that he was pushing off the bris milah. He had a pretty good reason. But the Torah wasn't given yet. Okay, he knew about the concept of bris milah from Avram Avinu, but the fact that somebody should be killed for not giving a child a bris milah, why was the malach sent to even kill Moshe at all? So he suggests, which is oftentimes we find in some of these episodes in the Torah, is that when you have somebody who's on such a high level, God judges them differently. And the tzaddik who's closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to answer to God at a higher level and a stricter level than other people would have to. And what Hashem was trying to teach Moshe was that when you're the leader, when you're the person that everybody else is looking at, people look to you for your example. And the same thing for any other leaders, children looking to parents, or anybody else who's in any position where other people are looking up to them. If a person sees the attitude that you have towards mitzvah, such as that, okay, it's difficult, I'm not sure what to do, it's not such a big deal to push off the mitzvah, that's very different than, and the impression that gives off to other people is that, okay, so the mitzvahs are important, and when it's convenient, and when I have free time, I'll take care of doing whatever the mitzvah is. And it was that attitude, and the lack of zrizus, that was actually the reason that Moshe was punished. And it makes it worse, because Moshe really had good intentions. I mean, Moshe was thinking, you know,
when you're faced with two commandments from Hashem, which one do you choose?
It's hard to figure it out. That was one of the challenges that Moshe had here. So he said Moshe had good intentions. He didn't think, I think the language that the Rabbag uses is he said, you know, what kind of husband or father would just leave their family, wife and children behind and start traveling to Egypt? So he said, I can't do that. How can I leave my family and just go off on a journey? So that's why he wanted to take his family along. Right, he says,
that's what I said.
He says, "Who are Yachoshev?" This is why the Rabag says it. Who are Yachoshev? Moshe thought Sheyiyeh Ratzon Hashem. He was trying to intuit. He was trying to understand. Well, so if there's a contradiction, so what would God want? Who are Yachoshev? Sheyiyeh Ratzon Hashem. Yisala Sheyarshuv and Yishuvah LeMitzrayim. He thought that what would God want? God would probably want me to go with my wife and children. It's not appropriate for a person just to leave his family behind. And then he had an additional logic, which we'll see in other Mefarshim as well, which is that he thought that it was integral to showing Bnei Yisrael that the Geula was really going to come to bring his family along. Because who in their right mind would bring anybody down to Mitzrayim in the current situation that the Jews found themselves in? So the fact that Moshe would take his wife, his little children, and bring them with him to Mitzrayim was a way of strengthening Bnei Yisrael's emunah that there really was going to be a Geula. And that really was Moshe Rabbeinu's intention. But God said to him, well, I already gave you enough signs. I gave you the osos. I gave you 3 signs to do in front of Bnei Yisrael, in front of Paro. So it's not your responsibility to think of extra things to do to convince Bnei Yisrael to believe in me. I gave you the instructions. The Meshech Chachma even goes as far as to say that was the reason he was being punished. It was the whole episode was really because of a lack of emunah of that Moshe Rabbeinu was showing towards Hashem, that if Hashem says, show Bnei Yisrael these signs, and they'll listen to you, and they're going to come along, he didn't need to try to figure out on his own additional things that he could do to help Bnei Yisrael come to this realization. God said, do X, Y, and Z, and that's it. So you don't have to bring your children along, and again, and because he brought his children along, that was his whole calculation in terms of the bris. So it turns out that because of that lack of emunah was the reason that he didn't do the bris, and that's why, again, he was attacked because of the bris. So the Rabag says if right away he made this mistake, so why didn't, what happened at the hotel? Why didn't God, as he's walking right out of Midian, Hashem should have sent this malach to attack right away. Moshe Rabbeinu had already sinned. What suddenly happened when they got to the hotel? So he suggests that, yeah, it's true. Moshe should have been punished right away because he already showed that he was making the mistake. But for the sake of the child, Hashem waited until they were at the hotel because he realized that the solution, the only way to get out, to push the malach away, was going to be led by doing the bris milah. And it wasn't fair to the child to have the health risk, to have the sakana, to have the danger of being on the derech. So from God's perspective, he should have been back in Yisro's home or in Moshe and Tzipora's home back in Midian. And that's where they should have done the bris. Now that they erred and they began the journey, God didn't force the meal to happen until they got to a hotel, until they got to a place where the baby would be able to recuperate, where Tzipora could wait with the kids for Moshe. And that way Moshe could say, you wait here, and I'll head back as soon as Bnei Yisrael are ready. The Akedas Yitzchak, the Baal Akedah, says very similar to Rashi, but again he puts a slight twist on the understanding of what was the problem. Again, according to Rabbi Yossi, that he got involved with the hotel first. What was he doing? What was he trying to? What does it mean that he became involved? What does it mean that he became involved in the hotel? Now, presumably, he wasn't looking for an upgrade or to have the honor bar or whatever it is. What was he so involved in? So, what he suggests is that al iske hamalon is a euphemism for having been living together with his wife. And what God was teaching Moshe was that if he couldn't do the mila, so the question still remains, if he couldn't do the mila, and he wasn't being punished for not doing it, he was allowed to push it off, so what was wrong with traveling along with his wife and then treating her like a husband treats a wife, and that they should travel together? And what he explains is the fact that they were together on the journey reflected the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was putting love for his family ahead of the urgency of his mission. And it's a very difficult balance that Moshe Rabbeinu was struggling with. But when you're being sent by God to redeem the Jewish people, you have to be careful how you're weighing that. So what should he have done? What could he have done? He couldn't have done the meal and traveled because that was the issue that he was grappling with. He couldn't have done the meal and traveled right away. He would have had to wait the 3 days. What should he have done? He should have done the meal and Midian and left his family behind. He's not leaving his family behind permanently. He's not saying, you know, I'm never going to come back to get you. But rather, it was an issue of perspective. And the issue, again, when the Malach came and the Mila was the solution, was because, like the Gemara says, on a practical level, the Malach came because of the fact that he didn't do the Bris Mila. But the core, the root of the problem which created the situation in which he didn't do the Bris Mila was the fact that he went on a journey and brought his family along and didn't feel the sense of urgency that it would have been if he would have been traveling by himself. And the Rashbam, I think, extends this a little bit further. And another suggests what the Rashbam says as well.
It goes against everything we learned today, Moshe.
What?
Like, throughout, you see that how Moshe is always like putting himself.
So we'll see that soon.
Some basically
suggest that this was that defining moment. And when we say that Moshe, we'll see soon in Rosh Hashem that when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife, it was at this time. This was the time when Moshe separated from Tzipora, and maybe it was even Tzipora might have even agreed to it. But we'll hopefully see that soon. The Rashbam and others suggest that the whole episode had nothing to do with Bris Mila. Okay? Again, which isn't terrible. The Pesukim, you don't see any other than the fact that the Mila stopped the problem, but you don't see anything having to do with Bris Mila. So the only hint to Mila is that in the end, when she did the Bris Mila, it solved the problem. But you don't see the Bris Mila. What was the problem? Again, an extension of what the Balakedu was saying. He says, Kihonya Mitzatza Balichaso Moloch Ishto Banav. He said it was considered to be delaying God's mission by traveling with his family. There is no way, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew it, there's no way he could travel with his family, wife and two children, at the same speed he could travel by himself to do what God needed. When he decided to bring his family along, he knew that would slow him down. Okay, I don't think I need to elaborate on that too much. I think we understand. So, and that was the sin, for which he attacked. It was delaying God's mission by choosing the slower route of bringing his family along. So what does it mean, ki chasan domim atali? What's Tzipora saying? It says, it refers not to her son, but rather refers to her husband, to Moshe. With this blood that the Mila gave off, you'll be able to remain my husband. Okay, but why Mila? And again, if the issue wasn't, okay, obviously he must not have had a Bris Mila or she wouldn't have done one, but if that wasn't the problem, if the only problem was God was angry because Moshe was delaying, so how did the problem get solved? By Tzipora doing the Bris Mila. So what the Rashbam says is that she assumed that the performance of a mitzvah could be a potential kapara for her husband. It wasn't that the problem was because of Bris Mila, but she knew they hadn't done the Bris Mila. So she's looking for a solution. She's looking, what can I do as a zechus that in this merit my husband should be able to be freed and protected from this malach that's attacking? She said, oh, I have a mitzvah I can do right now. I'll do the mitzvah of Bris Mila. And it was the mitzvah of Bris Mila that saved Moshe, even though the impetus for the attack was not Bris Mila.
Don't you think she would resort to
tefillah,
not necessarily a mitzvah?
Yeah, she thought that a mitzvah would be even more effective. I mean, that she...
It
could be she knew. I don't know. I'm not sure. Now, for the sake of intellectual honesty, the Rashbam does say at the end of his parish, when he's explaining Chasan Damim Lamelos, he says that she said Chasan Damim Lamelos because she saw the whole episode happen because of the Mila, which contradicts everything that he said at the beginning. So, when the Rashbam finishes explaining, he explains this entire episode the way we just explained it. Nothing to do with Mila. He's very clear that it has nothing to do with Mila. It had to do with delaying God's journey by traveling slowly with his family. And the Mila just happened to be the mitzvah. He comments on why does Tzipor repeat Chasan Damim Lamulos, that my husband was saved through the blood specifically of the Mila. That at this point, Tzipor realized that the whole episode was really because of the Mila. which seems to undermine everything that he said before. So I think there are two possibilities. Either it's that she now realized that meaning the Rashbam was explaining what they were assuming all along and not what actually happened. I think if you read the Rashbam, I don't think that's a simple reading of what he's saying. And the other possibility, again, which is hard to know when to say and when not to say, is that it was an editor's mistake, that Rashbam didn't really comment anything on that pasuk, and they just stuck in what Rashi said. I'm not the only one that says that. I don't like to say those things on my own, but in the footnotes on the fancier Rashbam, the I don't even know who it is, the footnote man on the bottom, suggests that possibility as well, that since that's the main school of thought in the other Mepharshim, so they stuck that in as well. Okay, the Tzror HaMor explains very similarly that, again, not only does bringing family along slow down the actual speed of the journey, but you have to deal with things that happen along the way. Things happen, there's a tantrum, and there's a this, and there's a that, and again, when you're involved in family life along the way, obviously it's going to slow it down. And he's the one that finishes off and says that it was at this moment that Moshe separated from his wife. And that's what it says when Miriam has complaints against Moshe later on in the Chumash that he separated from his wife. The Gemara comments that he at some point separated midaito, that he made this decision, and he suggests that it was at this point that he saw and realized that taking on the role of being a shliach of Hashem and having a family life is just very, very hard to mix together. And he lives on a different plane. And again, this isn't something that we aspire to, but it was something that was unique in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu that he came to this realization. And in the end, God seems to have agreed with it and was upset at Miriam's comments about it. And then at this point, he left. And then he told Tzipporah to do the Milah, and that's why Tzipporah did it, because Moshe Rabbeinu realized that the problem was that he was delaying, that his family was there. So he told Tzipporah, I gotta run right now, I can't wait another second. God wants me to go, you take care of the Milah, you wait in the hotel, and then when you're done, you can go back and go back to your father, go back to Yisrael, where you'll be protected. The Abarbanel doesn't like what the Rashbam says. He brings down the explanation of the Rashbam, and he says he finds it very difficult. He said the reason that Moshe brought his family along was for good intentions, and this was what he's going to be punished for. Again, either he brought them along because the most basic reason that he brought them along was to shine strength in the Amunah of Bnei Yisrael, and he doesn't think that that was such a terrible error on his part. And he suggests, the last approach, we'll see others, they tweak it a little bit, but a new approach to understanding the episode with Moshe, and he says as follows. He says, what does it mean that al iske hamalon, that something about the hotel was the problem? He says, about tochan ha'inyan hu shanavua haisu yoredes al Moshe tamid. Moshe was constantly receiving nevua from Hashem. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be constantly focused on this mission that he was given from God. Therefore, when they got to the hotel, and got involved in preparing the hotel and going to sleep, and he wasn't focused at all on what his mission was. Again, he didn't have anything technically to be doing. He was traveling. He needed to get there. But as this paradigm of a Navi, he needed to be constantly, constantly aware of his mission. And therefore, when God suddenly appears to him, Vayifkasheyu Hashem, and that's the Vayifkasheyu Hashem, Hashem was meeting him. At that point, God wasn't trying to kill him. He wasn't attacking him for anything. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do anything wrong. But when Moshe Rabbeinu was hit with this full force nevuah, and he wasn't prepared for it, the result was vayivakesh lamiso. It almost brought him to the point of death. And it had nothing to do with the meal, and it had nothing to do with what happened to his family. It had to do with him having been distracted on his level of somebody who needed to be prepared constantly to be able to receive the nevuah from Hashem. He needed to be focused on that. Vayivakesheyu atzem Hashem. And he was focused on the hotel and his family and everything else, important things that he had to be taken care of. And Nimsa Bilti Muchan Likbol Hashefahu. He wasn't prepared to receive this nevuah from Hashem. And Hayalav Atzar Vasakana. And it became a source of pain and danger for Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why it's Vayivakesha Miso. Moshe wrote Hashem Yisbarach Lamiso. God didn't want to kill him. And that's why it's Vayivakesh. If God wanted to kill him, would have just said, God went and killed him. If God didn't want to kill him, he wouldn't have killed him. What does it mean Vayivakesha Miso? It means that it was a result which happened to happen. That wasn't the point. That wasn't what God was trying to do. It was because God appeared to Moshe and he wasn't prepared, the end result happened to be that it almost killed him. And therefore, it brought him almost to the point of death. So meaning Hashem didn't have any criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was the fact that when Hashem appeared to Moshe, he wasn't on the level to be able to receive it. He had this spiritual overload of nevuah that in and of itself almost killed him. So what about this whole the whole Mila story? So does the Rabbi buy into the Mila story? So he says, yeah, the Mila story was true, even though that wasn't why the Malach came. It was simply a reaction to the nevuah. Tzipora guessed that maybe it has to do with them. She didn't know what was happening. Suddenly they're settling into the hotel. He's helping them pack and putting away, you know, some of their stuff into the dresser. And suddenly it looks like he's about to die. And she doesn't know what is going on. So she said, look, let me think. I have no idea what's that. Oh, one thing that came to her mind was, you know what? We didn't do a bris milah. So she says, maybe the bris milah would help. She couldn't think of any other option. So she goes ahead and she does the bris milah. And then she realized afterwards that the bris milah saved her husband, but she still wasn't sure if it was that the initial reaction was because of the bris milah or it was because of something else. And therefore, she suggested that they separate for the rest of the journey, that he continue on to Mitzrayim, she stays here in the hotel, so that the family shouldn't be a distraction, in case that was the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu had been attacked. And the Malbim suggests a very similar idea, that the hotel, again, is more of a, represents the Gashmius, the physical, and Moshe Rabbeinu, on the level that he lived, had to be focused solely and constantly on the spiritual. And the fact that he was focused on the hotel for somebody on his level made him ill-prepared to receive the nevuah. So those are the basic approaches in the Mefarshim to these episodes. We have the classic, what Rashi says, that it was about the bris milah, and they didn't do the bris milah, and apparently they should have. Again, whether it's because they were getting close to Mitzrayim at the hotel, because he could have left them behind, but it was about the Mila, and therefore Tzipora did the Mila, again, either because he was bound up, or because he realized he needed to move on in the journey, and that was the problem. Others suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't even there. Rabbeinu Chanan says that he had gone ahead, and also was about the Mila. The Rashbam said, I'm sorry, the Akedah Yitzchak said that it was that he put his family first, and that's what the symbolism of the Malon is. It represents the family life. And the fact that he made the decision to put his family first, and that wasn't appropriate, again, in terms of the urgency of the situation. And the Rashbam suggested that it had nothing to do with Bris Milah at all. The only problem was that he brought his family along, and that slowed him down. And he should have made sure that he had to be focused on his journey. And it happened to be that the bris milah, because of the zechus of a mitzvah, not because specifically bris milah, but the zechus of a mitzvah, was what saved him. And then the Abarbanel and the Malbim offered a completely different approach, that it didn't have to do with the milah or the family, and it wasn't even a sin on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather it was that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be somebody who was focused on nevuah, and when he became focused on things that were physical and focused on the hotel, he was ill-prepared for this pegisha, for this meeting with Hashem, and the kotzah, and the end result happened to be that spiritual overload almost pushed him to the point of death. So one of the Mefarshim says, Vayivakesh Hamiso actually means, he says it's not the simple understanding, but that Moshe Rabbeinu asked for God to kill him. that Moshe Rabbeinu's realization that he could have done something and not been appropriate in terms of his relationship with Hashem caused him so much pain that he wanted God to take his life. Okay, and then Tzipora, you know, set things a little bit straight. The final question I just wanted to deal with very quickly was that how can it be that right after Hashem has spent so much time convincing him that you have to go and redeem Bnei Yisrael, so what's going to happen to Bnei Yisrael? Couldn't this have waited? Deal with Moshe Rabbeinu later. So again, if you understand that God never wanted to kill him, so then you can understand. You can understand that it was Moshe Rabbeinu that wanted such a punishment because he couldn't deal with being distant from Hashem. So you can understand, but again, that's not the simple understanding. So Rabbi Ruchem Lavavitz in one of his Shmuzin says that what you see from here, he says, is an important to keep in mind in general. He says that many times, he quotes this from the Ramchal, that we know that in everything has to have a cause and effect. That in order for something to happen, it has to have been a cause in order for it to happen. But what he says is that we sometimes fail to realize the only reason that rule is true is because God made it that way. He made it that if we're sitting here, it must be that you somehow got here from somewhere else. It's impossible that you're just suddenly here. There had to have been a cause. Whether you drove, whether you walked, there are different possibilities, but there's no way that I can be sitting in this chair if I wasn't somewhere else beforehand. I wasn't born and raised just in this chair. It has to be that there's always a cause and effect. And he says, had God wanted to create a world where there was no cause and effect, and things just randomly happened, he could have done so if he wanted. He created the world in a way in which there's cause and effect because he wanted us to be able to get a little bit of a glimpse of how he runs the world. He wanted us to be able to have a little bit of an understanding of how the world functions. So he says when you see an episode such as this and you start wondering and asking questions, well, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have, if he would have been knocked out, so then you start thinking, okay, well, maybe Aaron could have taken over. He said you don't need to think about any of those other options. He says it's sometimes episodes like this that are reminders that if God wants to intervene in his own way that makes no sense to us and we have no idea what the solution would have been, he has every right to do that. And the fact that he spent so much time convincing Moshe Rabbeinu, and he decided that right now Moshe Rabbeinu needed to be punished because of this, it's not even the time for us to ask the question of, well, what's going to happen to Bnei Yisrael? If God wants to make somebody appear out of nowhere in front of Paro, who never was anywhere else, who suddenly is going to be the Goel, he could have done it. And just to remind you that sometimes, many times, and oftentimes, in a normal situation, God does reveal to us what the cause and effect are. But all of that is simply because, and only because, God wants the world to function in such a way. But if there's any time where He wants to intervene on His own and create a new reality in a new situation which doesn't have a cause and effect, the only reason that that's impossible is that within the laws of nature, it's impossible. But in terms of God wanting to intervene and be able to do what he wants, he certainly could do that. It's not impossible. It's only impossible from a logical perspective. But God, who created logic, defines and can also change logic.